The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. Let's notice again the mindset and the attitude of the first human king of Israel, that is, after he had been in office for quite some time. We find this in 1 Samuel 15, beginning in verse 7. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now Saul knew his commission. He knew that God had told him to destroy everything of the Amalekites, every human being, and so on. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. They were unwilling to destroy them, that is, the best of the sheep, the oxen, and Agag the king. They thought it's not all that important to obey God exactly the way that he commands. We will do it our way and not be responsible or held accountable for what we do. That was their thinking at that time. The fact is, they were unwilling to obey God. That mindset and attitude began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. We think we know a better way. Well, I want to ask you, do we? You would think this world and our nation and you and I as individuals would wake up and realize that our way doesn't work. Our way doesn't bring the blessings that God promised if we would do it God's way. Verse 10 through 11, Now the word of the Eternal came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. God is strongly indicating here, as a matter of fact, just saying in so many words, that Saul did start out as the first human king of Israel obeying God. That's the reason that God chose him, because he was a man that was humble and little in his own sight, as we will get to in this program. It says, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Eternal all night. You don't fool God. You either obey or you don't. It doesn't matter how you try to justify your actions. God still knows the truth. Verse 12. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went down to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Don't we all call our nation a Christian nation and say we obey God? Well, does the fruit we bear prove that we obey or disobey our God? Are we only blessed, or are we living under many curses? That should give us the answer. Verse 13 through 15, Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Did you notice Saul didn't accept responsibility? He said, I am not to be held accountable for not obeying God. In fact, he said, I have obeyed God. He passed the buck. He blamed the people. That is so easy and convenient to just blame someone else. It helps you justify self. And that's what human nature likes to do. That's what Saul did. That's what Adam and Eve did. That's what Cain did. Without God's nature, that's what we do. Passing the buck, making excuses, justifying self for our action, mindset, and attitude is Satan's nature. You need to think about that, my friends. Now, just maybe we should think about that and ask self, what do I do? Do I accept responsibility and hold myself accountable for my mindset, my attitude, and my actions? Or do I blame others for my problems and my bad character? That seems to be the mindset and the attitude of the world that we live in. The end result of passing the buck, shirking responsibility, isn't good. Take a look at self, our nation, and this world. What do you see? Think about that. Take a look and ask yourself, what do I see? Continuing here in verses 16 through 17, then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. I will tell you what the Eternal said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel, and did not the Eternal anoint you king over Israel? God is speaking to Saul through his servant Samuel, and he said, when you were humble and willing to obey me, I made you king over Israel. God is telling Saul, I made you king because you were willing to obey me and to lead the nation in my way. But what happened to Saul? Well, going on here in verses 18 through 19, now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? My friends, do you think God ever wonders that now, today? Does he ever look down at our nation, at this world, and wonder why they don't obey me? Wonder why they don't want to receive my blessings? Wonder why they don't want to live the good life, the life that I have commanded them to live so that I can bless them? Continuing here, God asked Saul a question in verse 19. God wanted Saul to give an account for his disobedience to God's command. Saul didn't answer. He only made excuses trying to justify his actions. That's what Adam and Eve did. That's what Cain did as well. Does this world and our nation do that today? Do you? My friends, God doesn't buy excuses. God doesn't buy justifying self for evil works. God holds you accountable and responsible for your lifestyle. And you will be called into judgment some of these days for your lifestyle, for what you have done. Notice in verse 20, Saul's answer. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Doesn't make sense, does it? Saul knew the commission that God had sent him on to utterly destroy the Amalekites, including Agag and all of their animals and so on, all their livestock. But he says to Samuel, he says, I have proof here that I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have brought back Agag, whom I was supposed to have killed, and I brought back a lot of sheep and oxen as well. Doesn't make sense. But the king insisted that he had obeyed God when he knew he hadn't. Do we do that today? We that call ourselves Christians, do we insist that we obey God? Do we like to deceive self and justify self? Maybe you would like to ask yourself that question. Verse 21, but the people took of the plunder, the sheep, the oxen, and the best of the fatlings, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Eternal your God in Gilgal. Saul is still passing the buck, blaming others for his problem of disobedience to God's command. He should have admitted his sin and repented. That's what everyone should do, and someday you will, or you won't be around to live an unrepentant life. God called on everyone to repent. Notice what Paul wrote in Acts 17, beginning in verse 29. That's Acts 17, beginning in verse 29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. In other words, Paul is telling them that you should worship only God, and not self-made stuff that we all put our hope and trust in so often. Verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Yes, God commands everyone to repent, but we don't listen to that, do we? We go on our way. God would love to see the whole world repent, and he commands that. And there's a time coming when the whole world will do just that, and wish they had done that many years ago. But we aren't willing to repent now, and can't, because we don't think that we are responsible or accountable for the many problems that we have, for the much suffering that we have brought on ourselves. We don't see ourselves accountable and responsible for it. With all the suffering and misery, we still think we will be able to solve our problems. What has caused our problems? Do you ever think about that? Well, what has brought on so many evils and problems? Could it be because we have gone the way that seems right in our own eyes? As long as you, as an individual, or we as a nation, or this world, think the way that seems right in our own eyes, as long as we think that is right, then we will never understand that we are responsible and held accountable for our actions. We will never repent because we don't see the need to. So as long as your way is right in your own sight, you will never change. You need to think about that, my friends, and realize that your way is not right, that it's only God's way that is right. Now that should give you an idea as to where this world and our nation is. We are bonded by the God of this world, Satan the devil. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth here. Paul is saying he had the job of preaching the word of God truthfully and faithfully. Verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul said he wasn't watering down the word of God, taking away or adding to or twisting and perverting God's word. Do we do that today? Are there ministers out there that doing that today? Do we feel responsible and accountable for the way that we handle the word of God? Well, I do, and everyone else should, because they will have to give account, give an answer in the day of judgment for the way that they have taught and lived God's word. Going on here in verses 3 through 14, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, Paul was preaching the truth, and he said, if you don't understand, it's because you are deceived and you are perishing. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 4 is telling us that if we don't understand the word of God, it is because Satan had deceived and blinded us from the truth. Christianity mainly preaches a message about Christ, but not the message he taught, which is the whole Bible, for that is the word of God. Do ministers feel responsible to preach and to teach what Christ taught and inspired others to teach? Or do they feel that they are only to teach a message about Christ, that is, about Christ as a person? Now that is part of the true gospel, preaching about Christ as a person and what he did. But we must teach his word what he commands and demands us to do or not to do. In other words, how to live a Christ-like life. That is a big part of what makes you a Christian. But Satan doesn't want that taught. We'll pick this up in our next program, my friends. I see my time has run out on me. In the meantime, request our free articles. Are Christians free from the law? And the article, Christ Wants Doers. Now that's two articles. Are Christians free from the law? And the article, Christ Wants Doer. Call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or log on to our website, www.thewayitoughttobe.org, and you can order free literature and also download and listen to pre-recorded programs. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today. And we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program on this station and on several others that you may be able to pick up. Have a good day, my friends, and may God help you understand and live His way.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill. Meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.